Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the December 11th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask that our superintendent please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to turn to item three, changes in the meeting agenda. There's one. We have replacement page, item K1, instructional personnel, schedule A4 and A10. Turning to our most enjoyable part of meeting, we have student and staff recognition. Mrs. Pettis?
Good evening, everyone. This evening, we are actually honoring one of our staff members, and I would like to invite Mr. Jack Blaum, who is our coordinator of safety and security, up to introduce our honoree.
It's a great pleasure that we get the opportunity to honor all workers that go above and beyond, and I'd like to bring up security guard Tom Robinson.
Tom, thank you so much for your heroic efforts, and we know that you're here with your family and your two little boys, so we would not be upset if you decided to leave at this particular time. We know the children are young, but thank you, and happy holidays to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to turn to item five, public participation. Public participation is up to 30 minutes. We each ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to turn to item six, the minutes of November 13, 2019. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes? Mrs. Gish? Mr. Cimano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The minutes are approved. Turning to reports, our student representative report.
Key Club is hosting the first annual Decorate Adore contest. A lot of teachers and staff are participating, as well as additional clubs. Last Thursday, student government hosted a second town hall solely on Chromebooks. College on-sites are currently taking place. The play Cinderella is this week. Performances start tomorrow on Thursday until Saturday, and tickets can still be purchased. In the health classes, a speaker came in this week to talk about safe driving and the impacts of texting while driving and being under the influence while behind the wheel. In our gym classes, the juniors and seniors, we are currently in our volleyball unit, where each class has a tournament for the best team, and the winners play each other. A day versus B day comes in front of both grades, and there will be a junior team versus senior team next Friday, which both grades are really looking forward to this, and it is a lot of fun for everyone.
Good. Thank you very much. Now, our report this evening is a very, very timely one, and the board certainly is looking great interest in this topic. It's been brought by members of the community on the school start time.
Good evening. I'd like to start by letting everyone know that what you will see this evening is a very preliminary investigation that the district has been conducting since September. I'd like to take a moment to recognize members of the administrative team who have helped us in gathering the data. That would be Kevin Scanlon, who is our Assistant Superintendent for Educational Services, Gary Dabrowski, our Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources, Alan Baum, our Executive Director for Human Resources and Secondary Curriculum, Kathy Casala, who's also in the audience, our coordinator, our transportation coordinator, Kevin Finnerty, our Executive Director for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Athletics, and also Laura Pimentel, who is our Chief Information Officer and Assistant Director for Instructional Technology. They, along with Jeff Carlson, our Deputy Superintendent, and me, have been working on putting together this preliminary report for you. So the question begins, why are we looking at this? And I think the purpose begins with the importance of sleep hygiene, the impact on adolescent health to include a range of conditions that affect physical and mental well-being. In the past decade, we know that both in national and local news media, there has been a lot of discussion about the circadian rhythm of adolescents and the amount of sleep that is needed, required for them to remain healthy, to remain safe, and to remain fully engaged in their learning and school experiences. These discussions, coupled with cogent and valid research, have suggested that the start times of some schools may contribute to adolescents not receiving or receiving insufficient sleep in order to feel and perform at their best. We know that sleep experts notice a shift in adolescent sleep patterns, circadian rhythms, during this period of time, and that most adolescents cannot fall asleep as early as younger children or older adults. We also know that for many adolescents, that this pattern generally starts around 11 p.m. and continues through to 8 o'clock a.m. So there, any of us who have had teenagers or have teenagers, we know that there is a natural biological tendency for them to want to stay up late and sleep in. That's not unusual. And physicians, medical professionals believe that adolescents should be receiving anywhere from 9.5 to 8.5 hours of sleep. And research has also shown that if they don't get enough sleep, there are health risks that can affect them both mentally and physically, and that there is also hormonal surges that could be linked to mood swings and satiety. Sorry about that. So we also, secondly, there is a correlation to improved academic performance and engagement. Many studies have shown that a later start time could contribute to better grades, improve test scores, and students to be more in, let's say, improved focus, and also self-regulation among high school students and middle school students. And thirdly, and of course not lastly, association with vehicular safety. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Association has stated that the number one cause of death among teenagers is vehicular accidents, and they believe that drowsy driving contribute to about 10 to 20% of those accidents. So when we began this process, this preliminary process, we approached it with a set of assumptions, because we wanted to acknowledge that any kind of change should not in any way derail our continued efforts to support the mental and physical well-being of our students, that we wanted to provide quality education and co-curricular opportunities for all of the students, and acknowledge that community relationships to their neighborhood schools was very important. Plus, of course, we wanted to remain fiscally responsible. So the set of assumptions were these. There would be no redistricting. There would be no closure of a school building. No students would be at a bus stop earlier than 7 o'clock a.m. so that we know that it's light at that time. We don't want students wearing reflectors, as we know that some school districts have suggested. That there would be no negative impact on interscholastic athletics, and therefore school must end at the high school by 3 o'clock p.m. Anything later than that would negatively impact our students' athletic opportunities. That we would continue to support and maintain the co-curricular opportunities, and that we would maintain the required number of hours pursuant to the commissioner's regulations. Commissioner's regulations in New York for public schools, school must be in session for 180 days. At the secondary level, there must be 990 hours of instruction, and at the elementary, 900 hours, I keep doing this, of instruction. I'm now going to turn this part of the presentation over to my colleague, Mr. Carlson.
Thank you. I'm going to run through 10 different scenarios of start and ending school start time and ending times and different grade configurations. And by no means is this would this mean that, well, it would have to be one of these 10. Really, the 10 are just to give a broad range of different ways something could be done to implement this a later time, especially at the high school. And that's our focus is later start time at the high school. And it's really, should the board commission a committee, it's really, these would be kind of like to get everybody started on the committee and talking about these different scenarios. So again, the only cost, and by the way, the only cost measures I have in this is what the additional transportation cost would be. This doesn't include either additional cost or savings when it comes to like staffing or any of that kind of thing. And we don't address, of course, we can't put a dollar amount on either, if it changes the academic configuration, grade level configuration of a particular school. And as Ms. Pettisich said, when we say impact, that's not, we don't have pros and cons, because what might be a pro for one person could be a con for another, and vice versa. So we just, we're listing some of the, what we see as some of the possible impacts. Again, whether you think it's a good impact or a bad impact, that's up to everyone individually to decide on their own. So I'll just run through these. They're in no particular order. I'll just give you some of the highlights. So this first one maintains our current grade level setup of K to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 to 12. Now, I'll just point out some of the highlights of this. We're going from, in all of these scenarios, by the way, we're going from our current four-tier system of transportation to a three-tier, which is where the opportunity to put the, and in all of them, the high school is in the middle tier. That's what makes the later start time. So if you go right to the middle of the page, you see high school start time, 8:20 to 2:55. So that's kind of, I think, in fact, in every one of these, that's the time for the high school, 8:20 to 2:55. And I would just like also to point out, for the high school and the junior highs, the day is a little bit shorter, because at the high school we're going from 41-minute periods to 40-minute periods, and at the junior highs from 42-minute periods to 41-minute periods. We don't think that adversely impacts the educational program, shortens the day a little bit, and makes putting these kind of scenarios together, logistically speaking, a little easier. So in this case, whether you, again, we'll call it a good or bad, a couple of things. The three of the elementary schools become early. Now, it may be too early, but that's up to people to decide. 7:40 to 1:55. We have three separate times for elementary schools. As you can see, Minnesota Mountain, Setauket go early, then Nassaukeag, similar time as the high school, and then Arrowhead would be with Julianus and Murphy as late schools. Now, one of the negative impacts, I will say, is on ninth graders who play sports or go to the high school for various academic programs after school. If the junior highs get out at 3:46, those ninth graders cannot participate in sports at the high school. And this past fall season, for instance, we had over 150 ninth graders per day that we transported to the high school for sports or academic programs. This scenario now has four elementary schools. Now, going back to that 9:25 to 3:40 is what Arrowhead, Mount, and Setauket are at right now. So it keeps that time, 9:25 to 3:40. Minnesota and Nassaukeag join Mount and Arrowhead as being late schools. You see the high school in the middle. And then Setauket becomes an early school, similar time as to what Julianus and Murphy are in. Now, this eliminates the problem of ninth graders being able to participate in sports at the high school, but might have other issues. Setauket may be too early for some. That's one of the issues. Next scenario. Now we have similar, except instead of Setauket being an early school, Setauket remains a late school, same 9:25 to 3:40. And instead, Nassaukeag becomes a middle school. It's not middle school grade-wise, I mean middle school time-wise, similar time to the high school. Murphy and Julianus are the same as the previous option. Same start time as they have now, 7:35. Dismissal time is a little bit earlier, as I mentioned, because it's 41-minute periods instead of 42-minute periods. By the way, when you see on the bottom, that's where we address the additional transportation costs. Eight buses and two additional vans. We use as a rule of thumb for now, one more thing I want to point out. The enrollment numbers that we're using on all of these slides is our current enrollment projected out 2 years to the 2021-22 school year. So what we did is we moved everybody up two grades, and the incoming kindergarten, the next 2 years kindergartens, we just duplicated what our current kindergarten is. That's the best number we have to go with. The last several years, our incoming kindergarten class has kind of leveled off, as far as we had been in a decline each year for a number of years, but it's leveled off in the past several years. So those are the enrollment numbers that we're using. So when we say eight additional buses, a bus for the 21-22 year will be right around $100,000 for a big bus, and a van is around $60,000. So you can use that as kind of like, not really, I don't want to say that's exactly what it will cost, because when we would actually do all the routing, we've tried to be a conservative on this estimate. So if anything, that might be able to go down a little bit, but we don't know until we actually would do all of the routing. This is just to give a kind of a comparison between the different options as far as what the potential cost impact would be. By the way, and it's a little more complicated than that, in the sense of we have some 4-hour buses, 5-hour buses, 6-hour buses, 7-hour buses. Of course, a 7-hour bus costs more than a 5-hour bus. So while we might need more buses, we might be able to use 10 of our buses instead of being 7 hours, be 5 hours. So there's a little bit of savings there too. And that's all what we would have to figure out if we were to really otherwise consider one of these, if the committee, should it be formed, were to look at one of these and say, we really like this one. Now let's actually start planning out the routes and seeing exactly what it would be. All right, now this one is, well, now we have a couple of major changes here. Now, in this one, we're moving sixth grade to the junior highs, or I guess it would be middle school then. But sixth grade is no longer in the elementary school. And on this one, all five elementaries, this is an expensive one, but we wanted to see, well, if we had all five elementaries going at the same time. That's this, and elementaries are early, then the high school, and then the junior highs are late. Now, the junior highs now are four grades each, six through nine. And one of the problems with this junior high time, as in one of the earlier options, is if the ninth graders, who are in this scenario still at the junior high, get out at 3:46, they cannot participate in sports at the high school. This option, now, same thing, except ninth grade goes to the high school. Sixth grade goes to the, well, I guess it would be now middle school. Ninth grade goes to the high school. Other than that, it's the same as the previous one. All five elementaries at the same time, early. Then the two, Jalinas and Murphy. Now they get out at 3:40. Then the high school. Then Jalinas and Murphy. The Jalinas and Murphy get out at 3:46, which is late. So it would have an impact on after-school activities there. However, the part about ninth graders playing sports at the high school is not an issue because ninth graders are at the high school now. This one is costly, 8 buses and 11 vans. So we're looking at, close to $1.5 million for this one. All right, now this one, all right, so we have four. Let's start from the bottom up because let's go time-wise. So we have, first of all, sixth grade is at Jalinas and Murphy. Ninth grade is at the high school. All right, then. So now we have Jalinas and Murphy coming in early, 7:35, same time as now. Nassau-Keag is an early school, very early, 7:40 to 1:55, same time that we've had in a couple of the other scenarios for early elementary. Then the high school, and then the other four elementary schools, 9:25 to 3:40 is exactly what Arrowhead, Mount Setauket are now. Minnesota would become a late school. As you can see on the bottom, this is a very cost-effective configuration. But again, there might be some other issues with it. Perhaps for some people, Nassau-Keag is too early, and there is a big difference between Nassau-Keag's time and the other four elementary schools' times on this scenario. Next one, same thing now as far as sixth grade going to Jalinas and Murphy. However, in this one, ninth grade remains at Jalinas and Murphy. So Jalinas and Murphy have 6, 7, 8, and 9, and they're late schools. So the part about the ninth graders playing sports at the high school, but now and again becomes an issue in this case, plus after school activities at Jalinas and Murphy. The Arrowhead becomes a middle time school, 8:35. Arrowhead is generally speaking not a very good candidate to be an early school, like a 7:40 a.m. start, because there are a lot of students who take extra time to get on and off the bus that go to Arrowhead. So it's not really a good candidate for an early school because, again, with not wanting bus stops, having a bus pickup earlier than 7 a.m., it might not be possible for us to have Arrowhead start at 7:40 without anyone being picked up prior to 7 a.m. But in this case, Arrowhead, similar time as the high school, and the other four elementary schools are early, 7:40 to 1:55. All right, now this one has similar, except now Arrowhead, so the four elementary schools, 7:40 to 1:55, then the high school. Now, Arrowhead becomes a late school, similar in time to what it is now. That time's right. Jalinas and Murphy, now in this scenario, grades 6, 7, and 8 at Jalinas and Murphy's, and it's late schools, 3:46 dismissal. But we don't have the issue of the ninth graders playing sports because they're already at the high school. However, there is the impact on after-school clubs and after-school activities such as Lena Murphy if they're already staying for 346. And as I mentioned, the other four, other than Arrowhead, the other four elementaries are early, 740 to 155. That possibly could pose child care issues in the afternoon for some people. Now, number nine has sixth grade, again, going to the junior highs. Tenth, in this scenario, ninth grade stays at the junior highs as well. So I'm going to, again, start from the bottom. So Jolinas and Murphy are grades 6, 7, 8, and 9. 7:35 start, which is what they have now, 2:11 dismissal. Then the high school and Nassaukeag, similar time as the high school. Now, Nassaukeag right now is 8:43 to 2:58, so this only shifts Nassaukeag by 8 minutes earlier than what it is now. Mount Setauket and Arrowhead are exactly where they are now, 9:25 to 3:40. Minnesota becomes a late school, the same 9:25 to 3:40. This one, as you can see on the bottom, three buses and two vans. It's not extremely costly. We do know there would be some cost savings by the way, moving sixth grade to Jolinas and Murphy. There would be some savings in staffing. We don't know how much because we haven't done all the numbers and all the schedules and all of that. But should that kind of scenario be something that the committee seriously considers, then we could certainly try to figure out exactly what the savings on staffing would be to do that. Now, number 10 is exactly the same as this one, except ninth grade now goes to the high school. So we don't have the issue of moving 150, well, it was 150 in this past fall, 150 kids every day from Jolinas and Murphy to the high school. They're already at the high school, so there's no impact on that. Jolinas and Murphy start right where they are now, same as the previous scenario, high school. So everything's the same on these two scenarios, the one I just went over and this one, except for ninth grade in this one is at the high school. As you can see, this one's more costly, and it all goes by what is the number of buses and vans we need at the same time. That's what really governs it. And whether we have a bus, need a bus or don't need a bus, that's a big dollar amount. A difference between a five-hour bus and a six-hour bus, it's a little bit, either more or less, not a tremendous amount of money, but having a bus, the difference between needing a bus and not needing a bus is where the big dollars start to add up. So in this case, it's eight additional buses and two vans. So I'm going to go back to the previous one. So you see, this is three buses and two vans. By moving ninth grade to the high school, we need more buses during that middle time when Nassaukeag and Ward Melville are coming in and dismissing. So this one's more expensive than number nine from a transportation standpoint. As I mentioned, we haven't looked at staffing in these and to see the potential for other cost savings or costs. This is really what we were doing is figuring this out from a logistical point of view. Whether people like these, don't like these, some will love them, some will hate them. But is again, it's really just a starting point. It's to get people thinking about it and talking about it. And should the board convene the committee, then it's a starting point for us. And that's the last scenario that I have. And now back to Ms. Petisic.
Thank you, Jeff. And I appreciate all of the hard work that went into preparing these slides. We are not asking the board to weigh in on any of these options. Again, there may be many more options that we come up with. These were preliminary options this evening. What we are recommending is that we would establish a school start committee in January 2020 with representation from administration, from staff, from parents, and high school students. And the charge of the committee would be to further investigate the viability of a later start time, particularly at the high school level. And the following issues we believe will be integral to the committee study: adolescent sleep hygiene, transportation resources, academic opportunities, athletic and co-curricular involvement, school community feedback, which would be done through focus groups as well as the development of surveys. And the committee would also be charged with developing a timeline if we decided if the there would be implementation, conducting meetings, and making formal presentations. Any final decision with the recommendation from the committee would be made by the Board of Education. At this time, we have no recommendation for a timeline. We believe that that would be determined by the committee that would be commissioned if the board so agreed. Thank you. I'd now like to open it up to questions from the Board of Education.
Any questions or comments from my colleagues? Mrs. Gish?
I was just wondering whether you looked at all at the impact on the tax cap. I would be concerned if we wanted to exceed that.
Okay. When we developed the set of assumptions, we did not include that because we felt that that would be up to the Board of Education. As superintendent, I personally would not recommend that we in any way pierce the cap. We have been very successful, and we have been fiscally responsible, and all of our programs have demonstrated sustainability over the last several years. Thanks to the, I'm going to say, business acumen of Jeff and his staff, our district is in wonderful financial position. I would not be recommending to the Board of Education that in any way we look to pierce the cap.
Irene, I absolutely agree with you, and I would also like to say, I think when we look at total costs, yes, we see increased costs insofar as transportation, but looking at the totality of costs, I think that there'll be savings along the way, too, especially with declining enrollment. So I think it can be done in a fiscally responsible way. Okay, anybody else?
I wanted to say that I am extremely impressed with the work that was done here to put this together. Very thorough, and a lot of different options, and I'm sure more options, and I would be one of the board members that would say that I would definitely like to move forward with a committee in order to see the outcome of this.
And you've just made the motion.
There you go.
And
there's the motion.
Mrs. Gish, unanimous. And speaking for myself, I would like to thank you all for bringing this issue, this important issue, to the board and make it such a priority, your priority. It's now our priority to look into this. Thank you very much. Anything else for after that? Items for board discussion? Anything? No. Okay. If I can turn to item 9 now, items of board action, D, 2020-21 new courses and course name changes request. Mr. Scanlon?
Yes, every year the Committee for Curriculum Development looks at new course proposals and name changes for courses that currently exist. What you have before you in your packet are the name changes that the committee has agreed to. I just want to point out that there were at least a half a dozen other courses that were proposed that were rejected by the committee as well.
Okay. We have a motion on that, please, Mrs. Gish. Second, Mr. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Have to make sure all the board members here. There's only four of us here. That's the quorum, so we got it. Okay. Turning to E. Approve the extension of agreement with the town of Brookhaven for sand, salt, and general repairs.
This is an agreement we do every year with the town of Brookhaven. It's really for emergency purposes should we need to purchase sand or salt from them or do any kind of emergency repairs to any of our paving. We generally don't need to use it, but we like to have it in place just in case.
May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Vizzo, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to F, amend Omni Group's 403B retirement plan.
The 403B retirement plan is, most people are familiar with 401Ks. Educational organization's version of a 401K is 403B, number of the code of the section in the Internal Revenue Code. That's where the number comes from. It's a voluntary retirement savings plan for our employees, governed by the Internal Revenue Code. There were some changes made to eligibility requirements for part-time employees, and also amendments to regulations surrounding hardship distributions, and that's what this resolution is to address.
Okay. We have a motion on that, please. Mr. Vizzo, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to G, acceptance of donations.
We have three donations. The first is a Nikon D40X camera and associated lenses and other equipment donated by Mr. Eric Gustafson to the district. Mr. Gustafson is a teacher at Setauka Elementary School, and as the way he put it, he received it for a gift for a photography hobby that lasted for 6 months and decided he didn't need it anymore. So he would like to donate it to the school. We also received a check in the amount of $3,300 from the Three Village STEM Enrichment Foundation to be used to pay for Saturday practices for the Gelinas Science Olympiad team, and also a check in the amount of $2,450 from the Setauka PTA for cultural arts programs.
Okay. We have a motion on this, please, to Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to H, the declaration of surplus equipment.
We have a few items, a couple of file cabinets, storage cabinet, and then a whole
You have more than a few here,
and
Jeff.
Then, and then a whole long list of various types of computer equipment that's all outdated, obsolete, unusable, been stripped of all usable parts.
Okay. May I have a motion on this, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to combine, if I could, I and J, the approval of administrative interns, two of them, one for Arrowhead Elementary and the other for Arrowhead and Murphy Junior High. Any discussion on that? No. Okay. Mrs. Okay. Yeah, you make a motion. And second would be Mrs. Germano. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Okay. Turning to K1, instructional, personnel matters instructional. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Bizzo, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Gary, anything on
it? Yes, sir. I would like to bring to everyone's attention that you did vote on our mid-year tenure folks. They are Laura Pimentel, who is our Chief Information Officer and Assistant Director of Instructional Technology, Annabella Conforti, who is one of our teaching assistants, Lisa Capiello and Jessica Metrio. Lisa is art, and Jessica is English. So congratulations. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
And now turning to personnel matters non-instructional, may I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Vizzo, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Gary, anything on this? Okay. Turning to L, if I could, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education Subcommittee and Accommodation 504 plan for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And turning to M, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to turn now to our second public participation session. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Your name, please.
Barbara Rosati. On behalf of the 1,634 people who signed our petition, I'd like to thank our administration, Ms. Perisic, Mr. Carlson, Mrs. Cannon, Mr. Dabrowski. You did a great job, and thank you for your hard work. We really appreciate it. We also would like to thank deeply our Board of Education for recognizing our concerns, listening to us, and being the leaders that we were hoping you would be. Our children's health first. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you. And I would like to personally thank you for some of the literature that you've given at some of the meetings. I have read through, and I know some of my colleagues have too. And I have to tell you, it's been very, very powerful.
My students usually hate me for that. So.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Miroslav Trajkovic. The slides that Mr. Carlson gave, will they be available?
Here. Okay. Yes, they will be posted to the website within the next few days.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Is there anybody else?
Anybody else would like to address the board? Yes, sir.
Hi, good evening. My name is Vincent Manisha Talkett. This reminds me a lot of the redistricting that was done years ago. I'm not sure if anybody was here during that time where there was a lot of scenarios, and that was a great job. I really appreciate it, Mr. Carlson. And the one thing I would just like to suggest is I heard that you said, you know, at the end of it that the board would make the decision, but I'd just like to suggest that maybe two or three of the scenarios could be put and it could be actually voted on by the community rather than the board, because as Mr. Carlson alluded to, a lot of things could be favorable to one person, unfavorable to somebody else, and I just thought that that might be a suggested better way to do that to conclude. That's it.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, just wanted to comment quickly about
name, sir.
Erez Zadok. Thank you. Just wanted to comment quickly and have perhaps two suggestions. I hope I'm not way ahead of myself. All of these 10 plans, and there might be other plans that will come up, clearly there's going to be some people who will perceive one plan as better than the other for them. I would perhaps ask the committee to consider possibility of picking a couple of plans and perhaps not just voting on them, but maybe considering a rotation on an annual basis that might sort of load balance the perceived pros and cons for different people. It might also allow us to assess which plan might work better. The second point I'd like to suggest is that, like any big change, it's a good idea to put in place a kind of a mandatory reevaluation of a system after a suitable period of time has passed to evaluate how well it is working. Because as we all know, nothing's going to be perfect from day one. There's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some suggestions. So allow us the time to reevaluate and sort of tweak the system as needed, assuming something comes to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, be everything.
I appreciate everybody's comments, and I would say that any time a major change like this, if this were to come to fruition and be implemented, that part of it, the study, a follow-up study to see how things are going, analyzing that, assessing it, and making any changes would definitely be part of what we would do. I want to take just a brief opportunity, particularly to thank Dr. Rosati. I will say that she had put Jeff and myself in contact with a superintendent from the Radnor Township School District in Wayne, Pennsylvania. It was very enlightening, our conversation that we had with Mr. Batchelor. And it was interesting because we shared a lot of similarities in our thinking. And we started off, I have to say, with a lot of skepticism. I know I speak for myself, and I think I speak for a lot of my colleagues when this first began. But we've come full circle, and at this point, I have to say that I see a lot of viability to this. I see the value in looking at this with open eyes, and I look forward to working with the committee, with Mr. Carlson, as we begin to look at what the options are for our students so that we can do the best that we can for them. That has been our mission for so long, for as long as I've been in the district, which has been a pretty long time, and will continue to be our mission. So I thank everybody.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time?
Before we leave, and being I have an audience, I want to remind you that Cinderella is this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday matinee, and Saturday evening. Cinderella will be transformed, and you will love it. So, come. Come.
I also want to point out that Irene Gish is not only our board trustee vice president, but the customer for Cinderella. So
she's a vested interest in this all.
Yes. And because
Cinderella lost her bow. So I have to go home and make her a new bow.
She has to make a new one. But I also want to mention musical theater is a big piece of our school district, and I just want to take an opportunity to recognize our staff who last month performed Peter Pan. I hope some of you had a chance to, under the direction of our very talented Anthony Plera. And they raised $25,000 for student scholarships. So that is very impressive.
We have a motion for adjournment. Mrs. Gimeno, second Mr. Vizzo. Good evening, everyone, and have a very wonderful holiday.